Hello and welcome to Chapter Chat. My name's Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we are going to be digging into chapters 19 through maybe 27 if we can get through it all in an hour. We'll see. That is the goal, to get to the end of Act 1, but there is a lot of fucking history dropped in chapter 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm. And then again in like 25.
So much that like trying to go through it was just, I mean, I saw things and kind of reheard things and understood them better the second time, mm-hmm. but didn't get to go through all of it because there was so much of it a second time.
Yeah. Gosh, I know. There's a lot of plot happening also as we follow like three different groups of people.
Yeah. Well, we kick off with Lydia in chapter 19. This is when Pollux tells her there's a really good chance that the harpy will wake up and he's like, have sex with me in the shower. And she's like, but I'm on my period. Because remember, she had that special potion so that she didn't have to deal with him. But mm-hmm. he was like, the water will wash it away.
It's like, he's just nasty. Like,
and then he bites her.
Oh, yeah.
In the shower.
He's just gross.
Yeah. And then we go to Ethan, and he's like, I'm not fighting Sigrid. And Therian's like, let me fight Holstrom. And the Viper Queen's like, ha, 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 ha. No. And then we go back to Bryce and Nesta and Az, and our whole history starts to unfold. Thea, a golden-haired fey female standing on a step behind the Asteri throne, is who we see. Her chin's lifted and her face is as cold as her mistress's. Okay, so last week, Natasha, you mentioned this tidbit that, like, you're like, I think Thea looks like the Hind or something. And I was like, what are you talking about? They didn't talk about that. And this is where she talks about it, but she doesn't say looks like her. Like, she says,
yeah.
She doesn't say looks like her. She says the hard-faced, beautiful female who could have rivaled the Hind for sheer badassery and beauty, Thea.
Okay.
But it is really interesting and definitely like something mm-hmm. that, why the fuck are we even referencing the Hind here? It feels like some sort of connection. And so I started thinking about like the parallels, because my instinct when we started doing this history was, how does it relate to Selena Sardathian? Like, how does it relate to Throne of Glass? Because mm-hmm. the name Selene and now the blonde hair, like they're all very blonde mm-hmm. looking here. And she is a blonde and a fae with lots of power. And then, you know, the Hind has a lot of similarities with Selena Sardathian as well. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, like, is there some sort of connection? And it's making me look at it all differently. And I had like a freak out moment this morning where I was like, wait a minute.
What did you think?
So I was drawing some parallels. Like, okay, so I don't know if there's a direct connection, but there are so many parallels between what's going on here and what happened in Throne of Glass in terms of like the overarching enemy situation. Just as some backstory, Thea used to serve the Daglin female that ruled over this island, right? So that's the Asteri. She learned all about their instruments of conquest, which were the mask, the harp, the crown, and the horn. Those are the Asteri instruments of conquest, right? Mm-hmm. So in Throne of Glass, and we call them the Trove, the horn's not really involved in what we know as the Trove, but it was part of the Trove. And they basically...
You mean in Akatar? Open...
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is like the same Akatar Trove, the mask, the harp, the crown, the horn.
Wait, but it's also in Throne of Glass?
No. Okay, let me just get to the parallel. Okay. I'm just like establishing that we have these items. They're super powerful. And like the biggest thing they do, I mean, there's the death and the crown, which controls people, but like they open the portals to different worlds, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And in Throne of Glass, there are different like portals called word gates. And they're opened using these three word gates. There's three word keys that open the word gates, right?
Yes.
And through Throne of Glass, Aelin has to hunt down all three word keys and then use them to activate this lock that can seal the word gates so that no one can come through anymore.
Yeah.
And that's very reminiscent of what we're seeing. Like, they sealed the rifts in Midgard so that, like, no one can come through anymore. And then they sealed... We're about to talk about how Thea sealed the portal or whatever you want to call it, the rift. She's the one who sealed the rift, right? Mm-hmm. So that they couldn't get through back to Rhysand land. So there's a lot of like trove-ish items using things like being used to seal the portals between worlds. Okay. And then she's talking about like the tunnels, right? And that's, these tunnels have like weird properties where they portal people around, right? Mm-hmm. And in Throne of Glass, there are these like caves that the enemy has like portals in, like word gates.
Okay.
And it just all feels connected. You know, there, it's too similar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then in Throne of Glass, I started thinking about, there are so many, there's scenes with the Valg being in tombs, and they open the tomb and the Valg gets out. And is that not so reminiscent of what we just watched?
Yeah.
Happen. We're about to watch happen here. Like, it's very suspicious how many parallels there are. And I know that, like, it could just be because it's the same sort of enemy we're dealing with. But I was thinking a lot about the Valg, and I was rewatching some of my book talks. And the Valg, like, very distinctly is described as darkness. And the Asteri is very much described as light. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're kind of, like, opposite ends of the evil spectrum, you know what I mean? Like the king of darkness and like the kings of light.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. Yeah, because we learn a little bit about like the Asteri in and of itself in chapter 25. How they came from a war-torn planet and how their resources were used up. And like,
oh, do you think there were two species on the planet? Theirs and the darkness and the light? Because that makes sense to have the opposites. Mm-hmm. We cracked the code, maybe.
Possibly.
Because there were three Valg kings and they were brothers. And, okay, there's this character, Keltaine, in Throne of Glass. And like, she has this weird shadow fire.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and it's because she had the word key in her, which was made, I bet. Mm. And I'm wondering if that's what Nesta has. Like, is that shadow fire? The silver flames.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, very interesting. Are the word keys... Because also, okay, the word keys in Throne of Glass, they have word. And in here, they have Erd.
Yep.
And in Akatar, they have the cauldron. So the word keys are probably made, just like everything else is. Mm. And it would make sense that if Keltaine had originally had flame magic, that when the word key was put in her, like it made it like made magic. Mm. And yeah, so very, very interesting. Okay, so we have Fionn, who is Thea's lover and the first and last High King of these lands, which is Rhysand World. And Fionn is like
Finn.
A couple Oh, is it pronounced Finn? But why is it F-I-O-N-N?
You know, it's probably a Gallic or Gaelic type of word. just how Liam is not Liam. It's just Liam.
Yeah, but Fionn is the same word that you would pronounce Liam.
I don't know. The O is silent. It's Finn. That's what they say in the audiobook.
Is silent.
But like every time I read it, I want to say Fionn.
Okay, so Emily says the tower they have to take down in Queen of Shadows, isn't it made of like black obsidian, which is like the black stall in Crescent City? Oh. Interesting. Yeah. Fascinating, man. Okay. So lots of parallels over there. Okay. Fionn Finn is a couple centuries older than Thea. So we learned that the Dalgan captured the cauldron, used their powers to warp it. Basically, they did that thing to make it into a failsafe so that if they try to destroy the cauldron, it destroys the planet so that they kind of have safety in place. Their source of power won't be destroyed because or else everyone dooms themselves. And we see that play out in ACOTAR. And Theia and Finn use the Trove to defeat the Daglin. They take over the island that the Daglin female that she served ruled over. And Theia says that her heirs are the only ones worthy of tending this land.
Oh, also, Finn is an Illyrian.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I didn't write that down.
Yeah, because Asriel was like King Finn, and he was the only high king of all the land. And he's Az's and Rhys's ancestor.
Yes. So, okay, the land returns to like how it was before the Daglin came, and everyone gets more powerful because the Daglin were sucking everyone's powers with the teeth and just how they live. They like suck the power out of the land.
Tithe.
So, yeah. Damn it. But basically, the island has a soul, and it's blossoming now under the care of Theia. And the island is dusk and twilight, basically. Like, that's what its powers amount to, I guess. After the war, the power comes back. She gets pregnant for the first time ever. She has Helena, her firstborn, and then Celine within 5 years of each other, and Finn starts to get close to death, and he's like, well, I don't think Theia's worthy of being my successor when I pass. It should be my firstborn, Helena. A new generation should rule. And Theia still feels like she's in her prime, and it doesn't sit well with her that her husband doesn't want to let her rule. Mm-hmm. And her general Peleus is like, yeah, Helena's too young. So they make a deal with like the bog. Do you want to tell us about the bog?
Yeah. Okay. So her and Peleus like conspire to kill King Finn. Fuck.
You're saying Fionn.
I know, because that's the way I'm reading it. In the bog. This bog place was created from the Daglin as like a game park where they crafted terrible monsters that they would just kill
to serve as worthy prey for their hunting games.
For fun. Yeah. Okay. This is the fucking bog where Nesta went in and
for the mask.
Yeah, to get the mask and have those fucking creepy ass I will never forget this scene because it's creepy.
No, this scene's very vivid and disgusting. Yes. Yeah. Those creatures were made by the Asteri just to be hunted.
And they still reside there to this day.
They do. And that's where Theia hid the mask, apparently. So they made a deal with one of those monsters to kill Finn. And when he dies, the land starts like dropping petals and the birds leave like winter's coming. And the land died with Finn. And the star sword just bursts from the center of the bog, followed by the creature holding Truth Teller. Mm-hmm. And Theia just like reaches up her hands and they fly to her.
It's like Jedi with the lightsaber. The entire time I'm like, it's like Rey trying to get her lightsaber.
They sing to her because she helped make them. So this is the thing here. Theia can use these without being like overpowered by them because she made them. But Nesta was made, which is why she can use them. Oh. But like she didn't make them. She did make her trove though, which is interesting. So she might be able to wield her entire trove without succumbing to the overwhelming sentience of the objects, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
It's very interesting.
Also, I just want to note that this is not very important, but Truth Teller had belonged to Finn's friend who was slain in battle. And it's interesting because Rhys is the High Lord and Asriel is his like right-hand man and he is, you know, a friend. So it's like very...
Yeah, parallel.
Parallel. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I was like, who the fuck is his friend and why does he have Truth Teller?
Yeah.
Like, they made these in the cauldron, like they made Gwyndian, right? Like together to defeat the Daglin. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what the fuck? What is Truth Teller then? Did he make it and give it to his friend? Maybe they made it and gave it to his friend. Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So they just stand there watching Peleus and Thea as like Finn is murdered, and they take his swords and they go to rule, and she takes the trove and like wears it all the time. So she's just an unchecked tyrant. That
she's like a class just, 20 in D&D. Like no one can or
no
more.
One can challenge
no
her.
No one can challenge her.
Everyone has to take the knee. And she educates her daughters, telling them that like, even though the Daglin were defeated, evil lurks beneath our very feet waiting to devour us. And I was like, if that doesn't give you anxiety as a child, I don't know what will. Celine says that she believes her mom told her this to keep her honest and true. And as Celine and Helena grew up, they like had zero interest in taking the throne. Like they didn't want to rule. Meanwhile, Thea is like, manifest destiny. This world's not enough for me.
We need
to rule the other worlds. She wants to bring the Fae to new heights, wealth and prestige. So Peleus, her captain guy, or enters, is that his name?
Chat. Yeah, it's Peleus.
Yeah, enters the chat. So all these years that she's ruling over with the trove, Peleus is planning a coup. He's like, she's too powerful. Mm-hmm. And to overthrow her, we need someone more powerful, which is an Asteri. Mm-hmm. So he's tracking to try to find the Asteri to help him.
Yeah, he's been using summoning magic to find the Asteri.
Ooh,
and
yeah, I didn't think
he used old notated maps from the Asteri to find Midgard.
Yep, so he finds Midgard. Regulus is there, and he's like, I promise you big rewards if you can lure Thea to this world with her trove. And so Thea just trusts Peleus, and she's like, he's like, I got a world for us to conquer. It's blank. Nobody's there. So Bryce describes the scene she's seeing, and like they opened up the door to the world in this very room they're standing in with the eight-pointed star, and a red-haired fae that looks alarmingly like Bryce's dad is right next to Thea.
I was, because it says that she convinced her people. So like first, like she goes to like her council and they're like, what? No, we're not going to go take on another world. That's ridiculous. And then she goes to other people, the fire wielders from the south, which I'm wondering mm-hmm. if those are the red haired fae.
Autumn.
They look like the Autumn King. And then also the merchants are like, yeah, let's go.
Let's get more stuff to sell. Ugh, it's very like Avatar, blue people Avatar.
Well, it makes sense because most of them, I guess, still reside on Resandland because they didn't really want to go with her.
Yeah, because they had just won a war, it felt like, mm-hmm. and didn't want to go to war again. So anyway, Regulus looks like a gangly teenage fae. Thea isn't threatened. She thinks that there's just fae here, even though they said it was going to be blank. She's like, oh, but it's just different fae. And then they realize there's humans there. The humans are not pleased mm-hmm. that more fae have come in. But Thea knows how to handle rebellious humans. And basically mm-hmm. she commits genocide is what it sounds like. She's just slaughtering them.
Yep.
And then taking them as slaves, which is horrifying. And it's a pattern with all of these fae worlds. And yeah, that's the Asteri's whole shtick. They wanted to create a world where they could have like a stable battery. So they needed the creatures they brought in to be able to have a system where they felt like they were in control. Mm-hmm. So they brought in the Fae to rule over the humans and so on and so forth with all the other creatures.
Yeah, we also find out that Thea stashed the horn and the harp into a pocket of nothingness. At least she knows. She's like, well, I'm going to put this away so that no one can get it. Because she wants to hopefully use them again to march back into Resandland and bring more Fae out with her. So there's humans and other magic folk from a far distant world that can shapeshift. That's where we first hear this.
Yes. So those sound like Throne of Glass world. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what we have for chapter 19. We'll be back in a moment right after these messages with chapter 20. And we're back!
Woo!
Woo! All right, Natasha, you want to take us through chapter 20?
Yes. I don't have a lot here. Okay,
I don't either.
So chapter 20 says, standing at the edge of the ring, Ethan found he couldn't move.
Ugh.
He was doing this ultimate disgrace, this betrayal of all he's that so he is a person dramatic. As a wolf.
He's so dramatic about this.
Okay. Can't. So yeah, we're at the point where for them to leave the meatpacking district or whatever, Ethan has to fight someone. And so he's fighting Sigrid. There's really nothing that happens within this. It's no. just that Ethan, like Sigrid and Ethan begin to fight and she wants one of them to die. There is no someone's on the ground. The fight's nothing. Done. It is to the death.
Someone's he's like, I can't believe this. She's not just a Fendir. She's the Fendir line.
And this is the beginning of the make your brother proud. And I hate that. I hate it. Because I'm just like, if you want to make your brother proud, step up and be alpha.
And it, you just hear it so in the, if you listen to the audiobook, it's constantly like make your brother proud.
Oh yeah.
Just every time it gives me the ick, I'm like, stop.
Yeah. So that's the scene. Then we jump back to
Rune.
What? To the room?
Rune and Baxian and the hand situation.
Do we?
That's what I have next.
No, we jump back to Celine talking.
Oh, more Celine.
Yeah, we the whole flashback scene. I have down, Fae were like Thea and they could shapeshift into animals with K-19th. So we ended up knowing that there was
others. That's the Thorn of Glass.
Yeah. But they also knew Regulus a long while. So we don't know how long they've actually been on that world.
It feels like they were way long ago. Like maybe those first wars in Throne of Glass that they read about in history had something to do with it.
So now Thea's mad. Why is Thea mad?
Why Thea mad now? Thea mad because does she know that Peleus?
Yeah, so he
betrayed her.
My mother would trust us. Peleus, she might have once included, but he had taken to the pleasures of this new world too eagerly.
Oh, yeah.
Championed by Regulus himself. And then we get a glimpse of a dead woman that he's probably raped.
Yeah, that's the idea we get, that he raped a human woman and then just murdered her and tossed her in the lake. And that was like the culture of Peleus.
Mm-hmm. And then Bryce goes like, this is still happening today. Humans are tossed into dumpsters after the Vanir have tormented and killed them.
Sad times. So that's why Thea's mad. What she does is use the horn and the harp. Yeah. To open up a portal to a world that defeated the Asteri.
Oh, yeah. And because she figures out that these people that brought her are here the are the Asteri. And that Peleus. Okay, got it.
Peleus betrayed her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Aedas walks out and is like, are you here to ask for Hel's help then?
Yeah.
Hi. What's up, mate?
Hi.
What the? Mate. Then he becomes Thea's mate.
Crazy. What?
You know, wild. It just reminds me of when we met Ryson.
Yes. So then we flash back to Hunt and Braxian, and now the three knuckleheads come up with their own plan to escape.
Knuckleheads.
Which involves cutting off Rune's hand.
Not cutting off, biting off Rune's hand. He's like, it's much worse.
I just need to reach this poker. And then if we get the poker, we can use it. But I just need a little bit more space. So like, Braxian, can you bite off my hand? And then he starts sawing through it.
Biting through. There is no saw.
Yeah.
Gross.
And they're still hanging from their Gorsian shackles. And then at the very end of the chapter, we flash back to Ethan. And the fight is like, she kind of like fakes it and then comes at him. And then he retreats.
Well, this is what
back.
She does. She goes, I never thanked you. And he's like, yeah. Thank me for what? Because he's about to make the killing blow. And she's like, for getting me out of that tank. And then he's like, oh, like she just plays on the fact that he's very empathetic. And then she attacks him and goes for the kill. And Ethan's like, I can't kill her. I don't know what to do here. And then he accidentally murders her and decapitates
her straight through the throat. Good Lord.
And her head falls off.
God.
And he's like, wait, what?
I didn't mean to do it. No, rewind. Also, we missed a key thing that when they were, so Baxian is chomping off Rune's hand and he gets it off and Rune's like, ah, and he's like swinging, and Hunt is pushing his butt with his legs to get his legs out longer, and then he reaches the poker with his foot and he gets it back in. He's like, I got the poker. And Regulus is just standing in the doorway like, wow, what acrobatics you have.
They go through all that. They chop off his hand and then
nothing comes out of it except now he doesn't have a hand
because the dum-dum won't listen to Lydia because he's blocked her out.
So God. Annoying.
I'm like, you're only, she is your only lifeboat in this situation. And you won't fucking talk to her because she's mad because he lied. Like, shut up.
Okay. It's just so stupid.
Chapter 21.
Aedas was a prince of hell, Celine went on.
Yeah, so Aedas was mandated to find the Asteri after they had banished them from their world and to kill them. So he's been just working on this.
To get rid of them.
To get rid of them for a very, very long time. So, hi, Thea. Thank you for coming to me. Oh, you're actually my mate. Okay, that's amazing. I think, like, even Celine was like, even through all of this, I have never seen my mother more at peace. Because she had found her mate.
And Bryce is like boiling. Like, how Aedas liked Thea. Aedas could forgive all of Thea's slaughtering tyranny. Fuck them both. Fuck all of this. I don't want to be related to Thea. Carve out my heart.
It's being very dramatic. Well,
also, Nesta is like, bleh, gross.
Yeah. I mean, it is terrible. Bryce is like, can I just leave the star here?
Okay, so here we find out the big thing.
The big thing.
The Asteri have put a parasite in the water that attacks all the veneer and begins their drop
in
so
Midgard.
That they can feed on the power. If the veneer do not take the drop, then they wither and die of old age. But it's actually just the parasite that kills them. And this parasite feeds the cities and their technology. So it's all in their water. That is the thing that is keeping them not at full power.
Yeah, none of the Fae, none of any of the creatures on Midgard are at full power. So if they were at full power, this would be like a completely different world. The Asteri have made it so that like they can't even begin to be challenged because they've taken by default a chunk of everyone's power before they even come to adulthood.
Yeah. And the kicker is the humans knew all about this, but they're so smug in their silence because obviously they're being killed and they don't really care. They said, whatever, you know what, have them take
when did
power.
The humans know about it?
Because the Asteri just would let everything slip. Since they don't have magic, so it doesn't matter. And so the humans knew about it the whole time because the Asteri just, you know, didn't really keep secrets from them because who cares? They're weak little beings. So I think that they talk to the humans finally, and that's like how I think they combine forces.
Yeah, it says my mother stood firm, explained what she had learned, what the humans had known through. Though they had been ignorant of the details. And when she finished, the humans revealed their own discovery, one that showed us our doom, and that's what the parasite was.
So they marched on the Asteri and Peleus with 50,000 soldiers from Hell, and also everyone that they could get from their own lands as well. They can't defeat the Asteri, so Thea gives the harp to Celine and the horn to Helena and opens a portal and pours her magic into them. Okay, so this is where...
So she divides up her magic.
She divides up her magic, her star. And we learn that the harp can not only, you know, just portal people, but it can also move. The harp can move one thing to another and even move magic into another body. I think this is going to be a huge thing later on.
It was hinted that it can do like almost anything when Nesta was kind of talking to it, you know, and she was like talking to the harp. But this is a more certain detail of something that it can specifically do. So she divides her power in three, gives a third of it to each daughter, and then takes it back a third for herself.
Mm-hmm. They've run out of time in this because, like, she wanted to essentially like go back to Rhysandland, get people and, you know,
out of Midgard.
And bring back to Midgard and overthrow the Asteri. That can't happen. Regulus made Peleus a prince of the Fae, and he was like, well, go make babies with Helena and Celine because that'll, you know, make you actually the king.
Ew.
I know. And at the very end, Thea, like, takes her star sword and she goes out toward towards the battle and gives, again, the horn, I think, the horn to Helena and then the harp to Celine and wants them to go back to Rhysandland.
Yeah, and she holds off the army, right? Like, yeah. She goes
but
to fight.
But the wolves are coming after them. Helena decides she's going to stay there and then pushes Celine out of the way, like hundreds of yards away. And then Celine is standing, laying down there watching as Peleus takes a star sword and plunges it through Thea's head. Helene stays on Midgard and Celine takes the portal back to Perinthian and shuts out all of her people and lets them die in battle as they're like banging against her, like, let us through. And I just don't understand this. Because, like, she had the time to be able to let people through.
Let some people, but this is so, like, this is a thing, a common thing, a trope in, like, these types of situations where it's, like, do you seal it off to ensure the safety of... It's the whole thing that we see in, like, Fourth Wing, too. Like, do we seal it off and not get involved and let people die to protect the people here? Or do we open up our borders and be empathetic and use and risk everyone's lives to take in these people? So she was probably like, if I let them start coming through, I might not be able to close it because they won't. There's so many that it won't end. Like, there won't be a place where she can close it. And it could get out of hand, and what if the Asteri come through and all that shit? So it's terrible, but like she does the thing where she shuts everyone out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like ultimately the sealing of those rifts is the only thing that ever protects these worlds from being invaded by the Asteri. That's the whole goal of Throne of Glass. That's why no one has been able to leave. Like, that trapped the Asteri on Midgard, so they haven't been able to go to other worlds and conquer them since then.
Yeah. So here we get what feels like how, like, Eliza tells her story at the end of Hamilton.
Wait. Celine tells her story?
Yeah, but, like, it reminds me of the end of Hamilton.
Yeah.
She's like...
I can see that.
Who tells your story?
Says, I set up an orphanage.
Yeah, all these things that she did to make sure.
Yeah.
She puts the heart back on the star. Then the whole ground erupts with the celestial and gods and things.
She writes the story into the cave, right? That's what's going on?
Yes. So she locks up her secrets and turns the Misty Island, which was her home, into a prison and lures the Asteri pets to it to protect her secret so that no one will know. So this beautiful island is now shrouded in mist, and now this is the prison that we know today. She marries a Night Court prince and only allows her heirs to have access to the island and her secrets and keys the wards into their blood. But these secrets had died out. Rhys doesn't even know them anymore.
15,000 years.
Yeah, of course. It kind of reminds me, if you had watched House of the Dragon, it's not a spoiler. The reason why the Targaryens had to keep a Targaryen on the throne is because of the old prophecy that said, if a Targaryen is on the throne, winter will never come. And that there is the whole Song of Ice and Fire, and that the king tells his daughter this because she's the one chosen to succeed him. And that she is burdened with this knowledge that only a Targaryen heir will know. And that's essentially why winter comes in Game of Thrones, is because there is no Targaryen heir on the throne anymore. And then her husband dies and Celine lives on for years and years and years. Like, she sees her children grow old and her grandchildren grow old, and she spins lies to keep her secrets and to make her history sound as if it was fable.
Like the mythology.
Yeah, and she goes back to the island and she dies.
Well, first she puts her power from Thea into the floor in the eight-pointed star room. And then she dies. And Bryce is like, fuck this shit. The story ends and Celine's like, I just hope the mother will forgive me. And Bryce is like, I fucking don't. And that's how the chapter ends.
Hey, y'all, this is editing Christine popping in here to just let you know that somehow 6 minutes of Natasha's audio is just gone. And it's just me talking to myself. So I'm just going to sum up what we talked about, and I'll leave the bits where I'm talking and Natasha's not responding back and forth. But basically, we're discussing the part of the book where Hunt has to give lightning to Regulus, or else he's going to kill either Rune or Baxian. And he ends up giving it to him because he doesn't want his friends to die. And of course, Regulus is like, I'm going to kill one anyway. And it kind of hurts Hunt when he's giving the lightning, and he thinks about like all the times he's lightninged someone and wonders if this is how they felt. And yeah, Lydia gets purposefully tells the Sprite Queen to burn her so that it looks like the Sprite Queen escaped on her own, and then they kill Hildy. And that's what you missed on the 6 minute conversation that is kind of lost.
Yeah, and we learned right after he gives it that it's going to be used to bring the harpy back to life, which becomes, it's a very like Frankenstein thing. Like if you strike them with lightning, they come to life. That becomes kind of a running trend through the book, that lightning is like the key to necromancy.
Anyways, okay, so Lydia, she gives Hunt and Braxton a healing serum, and...
Oh! Wait, it's like a special first light injection.
Yes.
That she gives them when they're passed out so that their wings will grow, because it's essential for her plan for them to be able to fly. But, like, when your wings first grow, they're not as strong. Like, they're like any other muscle. Like, you build them up. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I hope they've got enough time to regrow a full wings, because this is essential for my entire devious escape plan.
Yeah. But then she's also like, fuck, Rune's hand's gone and I don't have a third one.
Yeah. She's like, what the hell happened here? This idiot.
Yeah. And then she tries to rouse Rune to like begin her escape. But he's just like, meh.
Well, and he did just have his hand bitten off.
Rune, I need you. And then he just like doesn't even speak to her. So I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a whole situation with, if they had just been listening and communicating with her, they would have been able to be ready for this and know what was going on. But stupid Rune being stupid annoying about stupid everything. Ruined it all. Sad times.
Yeah. So then we pop back to Nesta and Az and Bryce. And Nesta's like, we need to tell Rhys immediately. So like Az starts making towards the exit.
Bryce goes crazy.
Yeah. Bryce basically goes crazy because Az is immediately like, well, where's the horn? And Nesta's like, it's inked on her back, you idiot, this whole time. It's a reason why, like, she can move between worlds.
And then they're like, she is a threat to national security.
Yeah.
And her existence.
I mean, I would be scared too. And then she's like, well, I'm not going to let the Asteri in. And then Ness is like, we don't know that because you obviously can't control it. And she's like, what are you going to do?
And then, wait,
lay it from my
did
back?
She suck up? Did she suck up the star yet?
Like, not yet.
Okay.
Well, she does do that. But yeah, basically, like, what kicks her into action is, like...
So she feels like Az is going to capture her again.
Yeah, to get more reinforcements. Because she's like, I'm going to get taken in, and they're going to literally cut this out of my back. So then she drops down onto all fours and brings and goes down to the eight-pointed star and draws the power from the Earth. It's a star, and it envelops into her body and stops Azrael from escaping.
She gets a surge of power that she's never had before. She's like, ah, I feel like she was like all powerful moment with like light shining through all of her orifices.
Yeah, like her,
and then she like brings down, yeah, her hair is on phantom winds that we see all the time. Mm-hmm. And she like floating. She brings the cave down so they can't get out. And then she breaks the entire fucking floor. Mm-hmm. And they fall into the darkness. Mm-hmm. This bitch. I was getting so annoyed with Bryce. Like, Like, I know she feels threatened because they're like, she's a risk and we can't take this risk, but also she's causing so much damage. So Bryce takes up all these the power on the floor that Celine left for her. Of course, she does the whole thing where she breaks the cave. They fall into the chamber, and the chamber is the evil below. Because lying there in a coffin is the fucking Asteri that was in all the pictures. Mm-hmm. The female that looks just like Amren. With the red lips and the black bob. It takes her a full page to fucking recognize that it is the Asteri from the pictures. And I'm like, you idiots just watched a whole story play out over days on the wall. Why don't you recognize this fucking Asteri? And a page later, she's like, wait a minute. This is the Asteri. And then Bryce wants to talk to her. It ends when she's like, I have questions and I need answers. And she opens the fucking coffin like the biggest idiot ever in the history of the world. Like, they're like, don't touch it. No. Don't touch it. You stupid dumbass. She's just like, and then she opened it.
God damn. Okay, so
I was so annoyed.
I feel like we definitely skipped everything that happened to Lydia and the fire sprite queen. This is chapter 23, but it's fine.
Well, didn't we say that
she burns her?
Yeah.
She already burned her. And I think they killed Hildy, right?
They did. They killed Hildy.
Yeah.
I literally, this is what I have in all caps. I need answers. So let's doom us all. What the fuck, Quinlan, you dumbass idiot.
I also love how like we like flash back to Danica because she describes how vibrantly red her lips are and that they're blowjob red. How filthy.
Because doesn't she have a lipstick called blowjob red, I think?
Oh, I was thinking of actually.
I think that was the name of her lipstick. I do think that maybe we should stop at 25.
Okay, so don't go into all this history.
Yeah, because I think we should dig into that like more thoroughly in the next episode. So we're going to end at chapter 24 here. Bryce opens up the damn coffin and I was so mad. I think I threw my phone. I was like, this is so fucking stupid. You already know how powerful Asteri are. Why the fuck would you risk opening one up? You stupid, dumb, stupid. And Bryce thinks she's being so clever because this Asteri hasn't eaten in years. But
she must be weak.
But in reality, the Asteri are devious as fuck and they always have a plan. She's constantly just like underestimating her opponents. Like she thinks that she's the cleverest person in the room at all times. And it's very frustrating. That is her fatal flaw.
It is her fatal flaw.
And she's like too cocky about her cleverness. Why do you assume you're the smartest in the room?
See, it's very Hamilton. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's chapters 19 through 24. We have two more left before the end of Act 1. But there's another big info dump in chapter 25 that we're just going to hold until next week.
Yeah. I think it would have been so cool if it was Armin and not another random underneath. Because that would be a really interesting redemption story.
I mean, can the Asteri be redeemed if they have to ingest power to be able to survive?
Yeah, because you like vampires.
Oh.
That is what a vampire does.
True.
Just with blood. And like, it's literally what they do to survive. And they were doing it, obviously, in a very inhumane, terrible way. Mm. But if she was in prison for thousands of years, like maybe she saw how wrong her ways were, or maybe she started to understand through Thea. Like there could be lots of different ways, but it's not her, it's Vesperus. Well, that is where we're going to wrap up chapter chat this week. Thank you all. Wait, Katie sent in some theories. Should we read her theories? Let's see if they're spoilery. And we got a comment saying that we got a comment on Spotify from someone saying that chapter chat is the highlight of their week.
Aw.
Yeah, which was really nice. Okay, I'm going to read some of Katie's theories because they are relevant. At the end of Kingdom of Ash, like there's a wolf tribe that runs by randomly.
Okay.
So that's interesting. She thinks that the Throne of Glass world is the true home of the Fae because of how many connections there are between the three series to Throne of Glass and how old I think Throne of Glass feels in comparison to the other two worlds.
Okay.
There's another moment in Throne of Glass where a portal is opened to a hell realm and gods are locked inside there, which is also interesting because hell realm, hell. Well, that's what I've been thinking about too, because they describe the Valg world as hell-like. So, but they're clearly not the same creatures as the hell creatures. So I have to reread that. Those are the ones I could share right now. But I think it's really interesting. Like there are so many little ties to Throne of Glass that feel like a duck, duck, goose tie because they are being interpreted and told differently in that world because there's different words and different types of mythology. But a lot of them have really close parallels. So they can be connected more than it meets the eye.
Yeah.
If y'all have any theories that you want to share or expand upon about anything we've talked about so far, please feel free to email us at thoseworkingfangirls@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and read it on the show if there's not spoilers. Thank you so much, Katie, for sending in your theories. You can follow us if you're not already for free in your favorite podcast app.
Listening app.
Oh my God, I was like, listening app. That way you don't miss an episode every week. On top of Chapter Chat, we do our main show called Those Working Fangirls every single Friday, where we talk about all different fandom related topics, what we're reading or watching, Taylor Swift news, all the things. So that's available in the feed for free. And we have a Patreon where we have lots of fun perks. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we have the shows ad-free at the $5 level and up. And we've got an extra show at the end of every single one of our main shows called Fangirl Tea Time. And you get that from Team Jacob and up, $5 level and up. There's a free trial where you can try out our Patreon for 7 days. See if you like it. You get to come to these recordings, chat live with us, be a part of the conversation for all of the shows and lots of other fun perks. You can check that out at patreon.com/thoseworkingfangirls. Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, we'll be back next Thursday with more House of Flame and Shadow Talk. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.